The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour. We're at the Bonefish Grill on West Charleston in Summerlin, Nevada, where you should be. And we're America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program. Bring to you information about good wines and great food in each and every episode. Thanks for all your inquiring emails sent to us from your home country, and which is all around the world, from the East Coast to the Left Coast to Malaysia, Baja California, Spain, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special invited guest audience are both hungry and thirsty, and they can't wait to get started. Tonight's special guest is Andy Diego. However, he is buried inside this restaurant. They are 100% full and going full speed. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we are all about, and that is, wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering also that we'll discover lots of information about taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during our broadcast. And Wines du Jour food and wine radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet outlets all around the globe. We're also available on podcast, and we're free on iTunes, so listen to us also on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid, so don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. And remember, a meal without wine is called breakfast. But first, wine improves with age. The older I get, the better I like it. That's not too bad. We are here tonight at a place called Bonefish Grill. It's a little group of restaurants that have wonderful concepts, and mainly why they started was it turned out to be in the Florida area, and there's so much fish and seafood down in Florida that they decided to feature fish and seafood, and that's basically what Bonefish Grill is all about. Is fish and seafood. They hand cut all of their fish. I mean, it is really a first-class operation, but they have a complete menu as well. And tonight, we're going to taste a little bit of the other things other than fish or seafood. We have some bang bang chicken that we're going to have with our first item. We're going to have a little house salad, which is unbelievably tasty. And then we're going to have a little grilled Fontana pork chop. Everybody likes grilled pork chops, and it's going to go so well with the Tempranillo wine that we're going to have. Our wines this evening are from Spain. Spanish wine is something that's come up and down over the years in terms of popularity. 20 years ago, you probably couldn't find a bottle of Spanish wine in America anywhere. 15 years ago, that started to change, and then they had a president for a while that wasn't in the mood for booze, so he pretty much cut it down to where it was minimal, and it didn't go very far. But for the last 10 years, things have changed quite a bit, and the Spanish wines turns out to be very, very tasty. In fact, I should tell you that part of Spain, in the very north-central part of Spain, is an area where I think some of the finest food in the world comes from. It's from a group of people that do not claim to be a country, although they act like a country. They have a city hall, they have boundaries, and so on and so forth, but legally they're not a country. They're still Spain. But it's called Basque, and Basque food is one of my favorites. I love the choices they have. They feature normally a lamb. Is the meat of choice in that part of the world, just like it is in Spain. Where here in America, of course, we have beef as our meat of choice as far as red meat is concerned. And also, France is right next door to Spain. We'll talk about that when we come back. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after this. ¶¶ Bonefish Grill in Summerlin, where you should be. This is a place you need to check out if you haven't been here before. They have another restaurant in Town Square in Las Vegas, but this is one of my favorites because of its location. It sits up on a little hill. It has plenty of parking. The food is very, very good. The wine list is excellent. And the people that work here know what the heck it is they're doing. You know, there's so many restaurants in America, as well as other places in the world. Unfortunately, most of the people that are in the food business as a food server don't truly know what the hell they're doing as far as giving you, the customer, the best service. But this particular restaurant, they're right on the ball. You can ask them a question about anything that's on the menu. They can tell you how it's made, how it tastes, and all that sort of thing. Which is to your advantage if you've never been there before. And the good part is they're more than happy to do it for you. They'll be more than happy to keep your glass full, whether it's water or whether it's wine or whatever other beverage you might have. They have, of course, a full bar. And so you can order just basically anything you want. But I suggest you check out the wine list to start with. Tonight, speaking of wine, I want to tell you a little bit about the three wines that we're going to be featuring with the food from Bonefish Grill. The first one is something that you probably have never had before. And it's because the varietal, and there's only a single varietal in this bottle, is called Bobal, B-O-B-A-L. Now, that's a varietal that you've never heard of probably here in America. We know about Cabernet and Chardonnay and Merlot and so on, but Bobal is not something that pops up on most people's vocabulary in America. However, it's one of the more popular red wines in Spain. Tempranillo being number one, and we're going to have some Tempranillo tonight because, as I mentioned, all of our wines are from Spain. But this is a sparkling wine, and we call it, in Spain, they call it Cava, C-A-V-A. That's what their name for sparkling wine is. Or other people might call it champagne, and I just want to give you the overview of what champagne is all about. Champagne, by law, only comes from one part of the world, and that is Champagne, France. That's about 93 miles northeast of Paris. It's a region like here in Las Vegas. We're in Clark County. It's like Clark County in Spain. In France, and they call it Champagne. And the laws are very, very stringent about Champagne. In fact, nowhere else in the world are you allowed to call your bubbly product Champagne. There's an exception, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But the fact is, if it's not grown, if the grapes are not grown and processed in Champagne, France, it cannot be called Champagne. You need to know that, I guess, just because you'll be smarter than the person next to you. On the other hand, you can go to other parts of the world where they make champagne exactly the same way, only they don't call it that. They'll call it sparkling wine, or as I mentioned earlier, in Spain, they call it cava. Now, this particular cava is from the winery called Tartanus. Probably never heard of that either, and that's okay. That's why we're doing this tonight. But it is a rosé. In other words, Bobal is a red grape. And the way you make rosé as opposed to clear wine would be simple. You just have to make the wine the way you normally do, only don't allow the seeds and the grapes, the seeds and the skins to lay into the juice for any length of time, because the longer that they lay in the juice, the darker the wine gets. So that's the way they make rosé. Instead of allowing it to go, say, as an example, for 2 weeks, they'll let it go for 5 days, and it gets that nice pinkish color, if you want to call it that. That's the rosé. If they wanted it darker, they just allow the skins to stay in the juice a little bit longer, and every day it gets darker. That's the way that works. So they get the color that they like. They're using, again, the Bobal varietal, which is a good thing. There is no other varietal blended with it. Champagne now, to go back to reiterate for just a moment, champagne is a matter of coming up with three different varietals. And they can make any mix or match of those three and still call it champagne. One of them is Chardonnay, And if they make it strictly Chardonnay and no other grape in Champagne, they call that Blanc de Blanc. And then they'll take the other grape that they have a choice of is Pinot Noir. So if they blend Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, they may also blend a little bit of the third grape that you probably haven't heard of that will make the Champagne the way that we're used to tasting it. And that would be a little Pinot Noir and a little Pinot Meunier. Pinot Meunier is, again, a varietal you might not have heard of before, but it's been around for a long, 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 long time. So in Champagne, those are the only three grapes they're allowed to grow in the whole region, in the Champagne region. And just so that you know, the law in France does not allow them to water the grapes. The vines do not get any water at all unless Mother Nature serves it to them. That's just the way it is. Pretty unusual. Don't ask me why. I don't know. But that's why we have some Champagne is better than others by year. You'll say, oh, last year was a great year for Champagne. It's probably because it rained a lot. Or if it didn't rain and it was pretty dry, the Champagne may not turn out to be that good. So that's why they call it varietal. That would be the three grapes. Or vintage. Vintage meaning the year. So if the vintage is on the bottle, that everything that's in that bottle was grown in that year. As an example, 2009. Okay, all the grapes were grown in 2009. And it could be all three of those varietals or any one or two combination, whatever the winemaker chooses to do. Everywhere else in the world, you do whatever you want. In fact, here in America, it's not uncommon to make a sparkling wine with Zinfandel as an example. Where did that come from? Well, Zinfandel is a very popular grape here in the United States, and it makes a pretty nice bubbly, I might add. So that's a pretty good thing. Never mind.
I thought that was individual.
Oh, sorry. All right, sorry. I mistook some information here. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help. Okay, so the sparkling rosé wine, Tartanus, it is, so that you know, we talk about alcohol percentage in our wines almost every week, and this is 12.5%, which is, if anything, on the low side by today's standards, but about perfect. I like it between 12 and 15 maximum percent. And the reason I say that is not because I'm persnickety. It's because that if it gets above 15%, it becomes a little more difficult to pair with food. So the stronger the alcohol, the less it goes along with food, just so that you know. So if you're trying to choose something for a particular dish, make particular attention to the alcohol. That's, I think, very, very important. Okay, the second wine that we're going to have today, I just want to mention it real quick. It's a blend of two different varietals, again, from Spain. That would be Tempranillo, as I told you earlier, the most popular red grape in Spain. But the second most popular one after the Bobble, or I should say the third, would be Cabernet Sauvignon. We all know about Cabernet. It's all around the world, and it's very popular in Spain. So they take 50% Cabernet Sauvignon, 50% Tempranillo, and make a red blend, as they call it, and it goes very well with food. And the neat part is you would think because it's red that it's going to call for something heavy duty. Well, the chef here has decided to take his house salad and serve that with that, which is like, huh? But wait till you taste the two together. You will be very, very impressed. So that works out really well. Okay, I want to mention one more thing about Bonefish Grill, and that is one of the things other than fish and seafood that I mentioned at the beginning of the program is everything here has to be fresh. And when I say that, I'm not being commercial by saying that. I'm just telling you that they search servers or produce production people to serve them that have only the first-class produce or product that's fresh. That is the key. You won't find a limp lettuce in the kitchen. It just doesn't exist, if you know what I'm saying. So that's important to know. They also make their own desserts here, which are absolutely outstanding. Again, if you haven't been to Bonefish Grill, either in Summerlin or in Town Square, make sure when you come to Las Vegas, if you don't already live here, that you check it out and make it happen, because I think you will be very, very pleasantly surprised. And maybe most of all, not only as I said earlier about how good the service is, how good the food is, the prices are also pretty doggone good. So you don't have to bring, two or three checkbooks with you, or two or three cards. You can just come in with one and be pleasantly surprised that the bill isn't going to be outrageous when you're finished having such a spectacular meal. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're going to be doing, like next week. You know, each week we go to a different upscale restaurant. Next week we're going to California Pizza Kitchen in Summerlin. It's one of our favorite places to go. The weather should be perfect. We can sit out on the patio and just have a great show. And also, I want to mention one other thing before I forget. One of our regulars for years and years and years that comes to the show almost every week when he can, sometimes he's busy with other business, is his birthday is tonight, and that would be Mark Silvert. Say happy birthday to Mark. How much time do we have? Sorry.
You're okay. About 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Let me talk real quick about champagne and cava and sparkling wine, just because I want to make sure you kind of get the picture without belittling everything. But the champagne only comes from Champagne, France. It's also any one or combination of three different varietals only. They can't and don't grow anything else in that region by French law. It's kind of wild, but that's, you know, amazingly enough, there are wineries not in Champagne. Let's say they're a block or a mile down the road, and they make sparkling wine. They can't call it Champagne. They call it sparkling wine. Pretty wild, huh? So you can go to your retail store and find bubbly from France that is not champagne. Pretty wild, huh? I thought it was a little bit unique. That would be a good trivia question, incidentally. Also, the bobble varietal, as I mentioned before, is one of the top popular varietals in Spain. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, and I'm not able to tell you what that reason is. It's not available in other places. Other countries don't seem to buy it or grow it or make anything out of it. So I don't know why, because this sparkling wine is pretty good. You like this tonight? Pretty tasty? Yeah, it's not sweet. That's a good thing. And it's very food friendly. So with the chef here giving this a bang bang chicken, along with it, I think it pairs very, very well, and that's what we—that's what we're all about—is to trying to pair the two together. So, if you will look at the map of Spain, the north central part I mentioned earlier is the Basque area. On the west side, right along the ocean, is another country. And they feature some wine product too, and it's called Portugal. So the abbreviation for Portugal is port, and they've been making what we now know all around the world, a product called port, which is pretty much a sweet but after-dinner drink. Port is not generally served with food during a meal. It's generally held till after, maybe go with a dessert, or even after the dessert, have a little glass of port. Very nice. There's a lot of old ladies around the world that have a glass of port before they go to bed every night, if you know what I'm saying. Because it's sweet, it's easy to drink, and it helps them sleep like a baby. And that's what it's all about. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Okay, well, we've got to go to a break. So if you'll hang on, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about wine number one. And we'll talk about the second one as well. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're finishing up a tasting of the wine number one, which is a Tarantas Sparkling Rosé. And I just want to tell you a couple things that I get out of this Tarantas. strawberry. It's a lot of strawberry flavor and a little bit of red currant. Those are the two flavors that I get. It's not sweet. It's very food friendly. It goes great with grilled meats. It's not common to have a sparkling wine go good with grilled meats. And tonight the chef has taken some chicken and done a beautiful job with that. And it really, he calls it bang bang chicken. And he also has another product, if you're coming to the restaurant to check it out, that's very, very popular. It's called bang bang shrimp. It's the style that he cooks it in, and the shrimp is absolutely unbelievable. But this sparkling rosé now will handle some stronger flavors. It's, you know, it's not a real lightweight. It's got some body to it. So some people might taste it and say, oh, I don't know, I expected it to be more like champagne. Well, it ain't. You know, it's a sparkling wine, and it is made from the from Tarantas, from the bobble grape. So that's a good thing. All right, let's go on now to number two. Number two is a beautiful wine that they're pouring as we speak. And it is very, I think, very, very tasty. It's a combination of Cabernet Sauvignon and Tempranillo. 50-50, as a matter of fact. And it goes so well with food in particular. The neat thing is, in Spain, they don't all have corks in their bottles. I mean, we have three bottles here tonight. One of them has a Stelvin closure or screw cap. That's the one that we're tasting as we speak, number two wine. And Stelvin closures are actually used to keep air out of a bottle compared to cork. Now, you know, there's people from old school that think that you can't get a good bottle of wine that has a screw cap on it. It has to have a cork or else it can't be good. Not true. In fact, they've been working on this for at least 15 years, and they've discovered, actually, that screw caps, or what we call Stelvin closures, are the ones that keep the air out of the bottle best, much better than cork. Now, we know, if you've been drinking wine very much, you know that there's more than just cork that goes in the bottle or just a screw cap. In fact, there could be plastic. There could be a combination of plastic and cork together. There's cork pieces that have been molded into the cork shape and used, and just all kinds of different varieties. But the best one, frankly, is the screw cap or the Stelvin closure. And the reason we call it Stelvin closure is that there's one company in all the world that makes the equipment to put the screw cap on the bottle. And the company's name is Stelvin. So they call it Stelvin closures. But everybody else tends to call it screw cap. And it's, you know, it's whatever works good for you is fine. The good part is, the Stelvin closure is a great product, and contrary to the old-school people that think it has to be cork or else, are wrong. And it's been proven, not by me, but by people that are in the business. For the last 10 or 15 years, they've been testing it, and not one time has a screw cap or Stelvin closure fallen off, so to speak. So that I think, is pretty important. The good part here now is this wine that we're tasting, and that would be the certified organic Spanish red blend of the Cabernet Sauvignon and Tempranillo, 50-50, is very, very nice when it comes to fermenting. They ferment it just slightly in steel tanks. It's un-oaked. There's no oak on this wine. And so you don't get that oaky flavor, if you know what I'm saying. And I think that's what makes it go so well with the food that the chef has put together. And that is a beautiful salad. I know a salad sounds, what? You're pairing wine with a salad? Yes, we are. And you are going to be impressed as soon as you take your first bite. It's very, very good. And I think you'll enjoy it. Now, the Cabernet Sauvignon in Spain is slightly different than the Cabernet Sauvignon just about everywhere else. They have, I don't know what they've done to do it, but they've got a different taste to it. So when they take the Cabernet and blend it with the Tempranillo, it gives you a very unique taste. Not dramatically different, but definitely noticeable. And I think you'll find that this is pretty tasty, the two of these. We've got to go to a break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're tasting the Spartaco. That is that Spanish red blend that I mentioned. 50% Tempranillo, 50% Spanish Cabernet Sauvignon. It has a kind of a nice plummy taste to it. At least I think so. Some raspberry. It is, as I mentioned earlier, a certified organic wine, 100%, no problem. It's fruity. It's kind of herbaceous, which I think is what makes it work so well with something that shocks most people, and that is a beautiful salad. Now, the house salad here has one of my favorite ingredients, which happens to be Kalamata olives, but also has the house dressing, which is very, very good. It also has hearts of palm, which most people don't put in their salad at home because they don't think about it, don't buy it, etc. Hearts of palm is very tasty and makes a salad more complete, I think. In addition to that, it has, of course, tomato. And right now we have those little cherry tomatoes all over the country that are very, very good. You know, if you take the cherry tomato and cut it in half lengthwise, turn it with the cut side up and put it on a baking sheet and turn your oven on about 250 degrees and take that baking sheet with those tomatoes on it, pour a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, sprinkle with a little bit of salt, put it in the oven for about 45 minutes to an hour. It will actually start to shrivel up, but it increases the flavor and taste of that tomato you cannot believe. Take it out, let it cool down, and throw it in a salad or put it on your plate with a little bit of cucumber and a little bit of garlic, if you like garlic, along with whatever else you might want to put in your salad. And it's very, very tasty. Now, you can do that not just with the little cherry tomatoes. You can do that with any tomatoes. But Roma tomatoes, by taste, is probably the best choice you have, at least in the West Coast, or in Nevada, for sure. Roma tomato is about the only one that you can buy in the store that has any flavor. The other, the beautiful, we were all taught to buy tomatoes that are bright red. We think that's a good thing, and it turns out to be only red and not tasty because they were picked while they were green, and they were harvested long enough with a little bit of gas to turn red or become ripe, so-called. So, you know, Roma tomatoes are a little bit different. They turn red on their own, and they have more flavor than the others, and they're usually a little bit less expensive, as it turns out. Not that that's why we're buying it, but it's good to know. And if you use Roma tomatoes, do the same thing with that. Cut them in half lengthwise, turn them with the cut side up, little olive oil, salt, pepper, in the oven about 250, 275 for, say, an hour. You'll find that they taste very good, because what happens is the extra moisture, because you know tomatoes are pretty wet. They have a lot of water, and some of that water dissipates in the 275-degree oven, and therefore it increases what's left, which is the flavor of the tomato, and I think that's what will work out really good for you. So strawberry is another flavor of this red wine. Spartaco is the name of it, S-P-A-R-T-I-C-O, Spartaco. It's a blend of, as I mentioned several times now, Tempranillo and Cabernet Sauvignon, 50-50, and I think works out really well. So would you pair that with this salad that the chef has put together? Weren't you pleasantly surprised? It was a lot better than you thought it was going to be, huh? Yeah, that's what everybody says. That's good. Now, this wine, incidentally, retails for between $12 and $15, depends on what part of the country you're on. It's 13% alcohol. Again, very nice percentage, very tasty. Not overly boring or too bold, if you will. Very, very good. And I think it's pretty nice. This wine not only goes with a salad, as I mentioned, to be something different, but ground lamb is one of the things I, you know, most people kind of pass. They don't think about it, or they just don't look at it when they go to the store. But you can buy lamb in every grocery store, in the meat counter, or the section where they have everything on toilet paper, you know, covered with plastic wrap. You can find ground lamb. That's good. If you take that and make a patty like you would a hamburger, put a little bit of onion and maybe a little bit of garlic in it, and either saute it or put it on your grill, you'd be amazed at how good it tastes. Lamb is not a bad thing. I don't know. You know, I teach cooking and wine appreciation at UNLV for the last 20-plus years, and I have so many people say, oh, lamb, it's just too strong tasting. Where have you been? Lamb hasn't been strong tasting for at least 30 years. Your grandmother might have had a problem. Your mother possibly would have a problem, but you don't have that problem. You just think you do. So you just buy that lamb, try it, you'll be amazed at how tasty it is. Whether it's lamb chops or whatever kind of lamb that you like, you will be amazed at how good it tastes. I don't know what else to tell you. A little bit of garlic, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil makes it work out really well. And also, this wine goes with just something simple like rosemary flatbread. You can buy flatbread in almost every grocery store. Without a problem, a bakery if you're lucky enough to have one close by. But a little flatbread is a very tasty thing. You can make sandwiches with it, just like you would a regular piece of bread, you know, so to speak. But by itself is good. I like to throw it in the oven for about 5 or 10 minutes just to kind of warm it up. And, boy, it just makes a dinner that much nicer, something a little bit extra without doing anything in particular on an extra level. Now, the next item that we have is going to be a grilled pork chop to go with our beautiful wine, which is Spanish Tempranillo, 100%. And that is very tasty. I'll tell you more about that. We've got to go to a break here pretty quick, so I'll tell you more about that. But it pairs really well, this Tempranillo, 100%. Pairs well not only with what we have here, but also roasted pork, chili, veal chops, and so on. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're here at Bonefish Grill in Summerlin having a great time here on the patio with three wines that come to us from Spain, along with the food that comes out of the kitchen here. The chef has done a beautiful job. The first thing that we had was Tartana Sparkling Rosé wine, which I thought was pretty tasty with the food, the Bang Bang Chicken that the chef put together. It was very, very good. The second was what we call the Spanish Red Blend of Spartago. It's 50% Tempranillo, 50% Cabernet Sauvignon, 13% alcohol, as I mentioned once, I think, and $12 to $15. Now we're down to number three. Number three is a grilled pork chop. Now, that sounds pretty simple, and it is. It's not difficult to do. My suggestion when you buy pork chops is to buy or ask the butcher to cut them thick. That would be close to an inch thick as opposed to a half or two-thirds of an inch thick, because pork chops, even though for some reason people use thin pork chops, they overcook very quickly, and the flavor goes away very fast. If you have a thicker pork chop, you can just kind of grill it to the, whether you want medium well, whatever you happen to like as far as doneness is concerned. But don't eat pork chops rare, necessarily. But please, don't cook them 100%. You're making a mistake in terms of flavor and texture. Because the more that pork chop is cooked, the tougher it's going to be to eat, number one, and the less flavor you're going to have when it comes time to do that. So, if you take the 50-50 here with I don't mean 50-50. I mean the pork chop with the Tempranillo. And the Tempranillo that we have is 100% Tempranillo. It's not blended with anything else. And it comes from the central and western part of Spain, as far as the region that the Tempranillo grows. It is a very popular wine. It's the most popular red wine in Spain. I have to tell you, I think it's pretty nice. I like Tempranillo, and I love it with a steak, as an example. But it goes really well with roasted pork, which ain't too bad. And roasted pork, I guess you could stretch it and say pork chop, because it's the same part of the pig. But also, if you're looking for something to go with chili, you know, this time of the year, a lot of people make chili, whether they make it with turkey or pork or beef or whatever. You might want to consider having a bottle of 100% Tempranillo to go with that chili. It's pretty good stuff. Now, with chili, you can do a couple things. You can take cheddar cheese and grate it and put the cheddar cheese over the top of it. When it comes to cheddar cheese, folks, I'm going to say something. I don't mean to embarrass or hurt anybody's feelings, but yellow cheddar cheese is caca. We want white cheddar cheese. Yeah. There's stuff in that yellow that is not good for you. Trust me. I know it's popular. It's everywhere. But I don't mean you have to eat it. You know what I'm saying? So if you can get the white cheddar cheese grated, great on your chili. Or you can take a white onion, which is very nice, to dice it up very fine and sprinkle it over a nice bowl of chili. That's a good thing. Now, the other thing that I don't want to shock anybody about, but to tell you that if you want real chili, it does not have beans in it. Now, if you like beans in your chili, and a whole lot of people do, it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. But the taste of the chili is not the same with the beans. In fact, I know people that put 3 or 4 different kinds of beans in that pot of chili. And that's okay. You know, we're talking about white and pinto and so on and so forth. That's okay. If that's what you like, it's okay. Mostly it's what you were grown up eating. Whatever your parents made, that's what you ate, and that's what you're used to. And that's okay as well. But real chili, frankly, has no beans. And it can be made out of beef and or pork. In fact, from a competition standpoint, and I used to do a lot of competitive chili cooking, won a lot of money cooking chili, use both beef and pork in the same chili combination, okay? But you don't have to do that. It's just strictly the taste and texture that you like yourself. It's a medium dry body, this wine. I think it's pretty tasty. It also has a little sour cherry taste to it, which is good, and also a little watermelon rind taste to it. It's a little different for, that's what Tempranillo has. That's different than Cabernet Sauvignon that we're used to. So that's one of the things that might jump out at you when you taste this Tempranillo by itself. And, of course, the grilled pork chop, what do you say? Well, first of all, when you're going to grill anything, whether it's a pork chop or a steak or could be vegetables, whatever, let them come to room temperature before you put them on the grill. So many people turn on their grill, go to the refrigerator, get the meat, I'm just going to say pork chops, out of the refrigerator, so they're 39 degrees because that's the temperature in your refrigerator, and you go out and sit it on a 500-degree grill and expect it to taste good. Ain't going to happen, folks. You just ruined it. Let it come to room temperature. That could be 20 or 30 minutes sitting on the counter, whatever the case may be, and then put it on the grill. You'll find that the taste and flavor are far better using room temperature, if you will, meat or vegetable, as opposed to right out of the refrigerator. It's a shame how some people don't know any different. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying that if you want better taste, pay attention, and it'll happen. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about number 3. We'll be back in just a moment. Back to Wines du Jour. Boy, Bonefish Grill really knows how to put the food out, don't they? This is really tasty stuff. And, of course, the Spanish wines don't hurt anything when you pair the two together. So that's nice. Our third wine, as I've mentioned before we went to the break, is 100% Tempranillo. A couple people asked me during the break, how much is that when you go to buy it? And that is between $12 and $15, just like the other wine before that. It's about the same price. And very, very tasty. Both of them, or all three of them this evening, come to us from Spain. And you should search out a little bit of Spanish wine. When you go to your retail store, you can just ask them, where is your Spanish wine? And they'll give you a section. Whether it's big or little, I can't tell you, but the fact is that the wines there to choose from will be from Spain. And try them. Tempranillo in particular, I wouldn't go to look for a Spanish wine that's just Cabernet Sauvignon. You can get that from anywhere in the world. But something specific that they like in Spain, which is a Tempranillo, try a bottle of it. I mean, and when you buy wine, as I've said almost every week, don't buy one bottle of wine. Buy two or three of that same wine. Invariably, you'll take it home and you'll open it up and the doorbell will ring. And you're out of wine already. You haven't had a really good chance to taste it. So buy two or three. You don't have to drink them all at one time, but have them available just in case you need it. Now, the peppers, the caramelized eggplant, all this that works very well with this Tempranillo is really, I think, very, very tasty. So, you know, it's an opportunity for a reasonable price. You know, a Chardonnay that's considered to be pretty good is going to be around $20 or $25 a bottle. A nice Tempranillo that you could have with your barbecue if you want, or with your steak or pork chop or what have you, is $12 to $15. So you could actually save a little bit of money if you wanted to, or they'll give you room to buy two or three bottles instead of the one and not break the bank, so to speak. And I think that would be something that you might want to consider doing, not only now, but almost any time. We like the food here at Bonefish Grill. We're going to be going to the other one sometime in the future, but I think we're going to be coming back here right after the first of the year because we like this place so much. And once the holidays are over, they'll have room. You know, one of the things that we have here in Las Vegas is conventions. We have as many or more conventions in just about any city in the United States. And the town only has a little over 2.25 million people in it. So when you have that many conventions, it's really something that you know, kind of takes up the town, so to speak. And what happens when there are conventions in town, the nice restaurants that we like to go to are busy with the conventioners, which means we don't have room for doing wines du jour. So it's a little bit tough. I just wanted you to know that sometimes we do one thing or another. It's not because we want to. It's because we're obligated to under the circumstances. A certain time of the year, whether it's in the fall or whether it's in the early spring. You know, after the first of the year, conventions really take over for about 3 or 4 months here in town, and that's a good thing. Looks like we're running out of time, so I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour, Food and Wine here at the Bonefish Grill on Charleston Avenue in Summerlin, Nevada. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show, and we broadcast each week at this very same time on this very same station that you're listening to us on. And you can go to my website, leskincaid.com, and listen to any of the programs 24/7. If you've enjoyed the broadcast, tell everybody you know, and tune in each week. If you want to know more about my favorite subjects, go to my website, leskincaid.com. or go to Facebook or to Twitter for my current updates. I want to thank Andy Diego, who wasn't able to come out and talk with us tonight because he's very, very busy, and Bonefish Grill here on Charleston for their hospitality. Also, I want to thank my radio broadcast engineer, Jeremy Knight, for all of his work. Thanks for choosing and listening to Wines du Jour. And from the left coast, from the east coast, and all around the world on the Internet, from Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.